You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. You can check out our podcast if you miss any part of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And a reminder, you do not want to miss the show tomorrow, especially the start of the show tomorrow. I can't really say more as of right now. Just a quick, hey, I told you, see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. See you there. But it's 5 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock, we do this.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
Ben Standig is with us as the top story of the day is the Commanders' burgundy and gold scrimmage. Ben, who are you rooting for, the burgundy or the gold?
Well, we were joking, or I don't know if we were joking, but trying to gauge, like, if this was a real game, what would the point spread be? And I would have thought the Jaden Daniels side would have been close to 10, and I definitely would have lost. So,
yeah.
There you go.
He was on Team Burgundy, Team Gold won, correct?
Yeah, Team Burgundy scored 0 points.
Oof, not good.
The Gold team with Sam Hartman and company facing the second team defense had two touchdowns in the first half, so to speak, and they were the clear winner.
So, Ben, Anthony and I, in the last half hour of the show, went through an exercise where I thought it was like a fun intellectual exercise, and we actually like did a draft of the team. We pretended that we were Team Burgundy and Team Gold, and just like, hey, we were going to pick sides for an intra-squad scrimmage, and we're sitting in a room, and one of us is Joe Witt, and one of us is Cliff Kingsbury. Let's just alternate picks. Jaden obviously went first. This is not like who is the best player on the, or second best player on the team in real NFL football, but for the purposes of this intra-squad scrimmage, who would you have taken second?
Are we including Terry McLaurin?
No, we're taking out all the injured guys. So it had to be people that were eligible and on the field today.
I think I'd go Laramie Tunsil because I don't know who else is a left tackle on this team right now. I mean, unless you're going to move Connerly or Coleman, but I'll go Laramie Tunsil.
Okay, that's a good pick. I went Bobby Wagner because I'm like, if you're going to have Jaden in the brains of the offense on one side, I'm going to take the brains on the other side and hope that Bobby just makes everyone better. But Laramie went third, and that is probably, in hindsight, I think that is probably the correct answer. One, I think at this point in their careers, Laramie is probably the better player. Left tackle is a positional value. And while I don't know who else is a Mike linebacker on this team, not having a left tackle, I did wind up having to put Trent Scott there. And that definitely has me holding my breath in our very fake scrimmage that is never going to happen in real life.
Yeah, no, I hear. When Dan Quinn first announced they were going to do this, I was thinking, oh, they're going to do a draft. Then I'm like, oh, wait, then I realize, oh, no, actually, this isn't about my entertainment. This is about preparing for the season. So, of course, you're going to have the offense stay together and the defense stay together because that's the whole point of this. It's not just for, S and giggles. So, That's a fun exercise. I've been debating if I'm going to do that on my podcast, and maybe you've just inspired me to try it myself, because I think it'd be a fun exercise.
It was a fun intellectual exercise. I highly recommend it in the off days to come. Okay, so enough about our hypothetical draft. What happened in the real scrimmage today? Like, what was the most interesting thing, whether it be the format, some actual action on the field? Like, what did you take out of this thing that Dan Quinn organized today, this burgundy and gold intra-squad scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we don't see the first team offense against the first team defense every practice. The difference here is that it was a sustained situation. You know, that it wasn't exactly a true drive, like a pass catcher wasn't going to just keep running. They just stopped the play wherever they caught it, kind of deal. But, you know, it was not just three or four plays and then you move on to the next group. They stayed with it. Jaden Daniels played the whole time and so on. In terms of the play, you know, I think Washington's defensive front was really the dominant force in this game. They were getting pressure up the middle from the outside. They were constantly, I mean, it's very, very rare to see Jaden Daniels look uncomfortable, and he did, I thought, here. But again, I'm not putting it on him. He's missing two starting guards because Brandon Coleman is still out, and obviously Sam Cosby's out. No Terry McLaurin, no Noah Brown. I'm sure you guys have talked plenty about the concern at the outside receivers if those guys aren't there. And so you put that together, and yeah, the burgundy side just could never get anything going, and the gold side with the first team defense, you know, like really played better. I don't know, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that the ceiling is raised on this group, but I think the floor definitely is up from where it was a year ago. Just a lot more bodies up front to throw at the situation, and you know, I think that, from the positive perspective, I think that was a good sign.
Ben Standig, Last Man Standig, is both the podcast and the Substack. That's where you read and listen to his work with us here on the Hoffman Show for Not My Beat today. I mean, imagine Ben saying, oh, yeah, the dominant force on the field was the Commanders' defensive line a couple of months ago. How have you seen that group gel, generally speaking, over the last month or so of training camp here?
Yeah, I think they're trying guys out at different spots. You've seen Frankie Louvu play with his hands in the dirt. You've seen Dorrance Armstrong standing up, different combinations along the line. You know, again, I don't know that we can sit here and say they have like one truly, you know, dominant player up there. But Frankie Louvu obviously was, you know, his relentless energy was huge last year. He got an all-pro selection. You know, Deron Payne, the talent's there. We'll just have to see if he's able to, you know, get back to that 2022 form where he's getting, you know, 11 and a half sacks. Bobby Wagner, you mentioned, you know, the instincts, the intelligence that he brings to help sort of keep the whole group together. Now you add Von Miller, of course, Javon Kinlaw, Johnny Newton has looked, you know, pretty good. You saw in the preseason game, him being a disruptive presence. So again, I think all of these pieces together just gives them more options depending on what is needed at any given moment. I think the run defense, I thought today, looked better as well. And there's no tackling, so it's all kind of relative. But that's obviously the huge question mark following last year. You know, that we've all talked about the fact that they've gotten bigger up front, and that's a big help. So I think all these things give me more hope for this group. Again, I'm not saying they're going to be a top 10 defense, but they can just even get sort of middle of the pack-ish. If the offense is able to, you know, be a top 10 offense again, that's a good combination that they just simply didn't have last year.
So the other big story today is that Terry McLaurin was there and he talked face to face with Adam Peters on the sideline. I'm guessing nobody spilled to you exactly what was said, Ben, but like, what do we know about that conversation? One, if we were able to ascertain anything that was said or discussed, and two, is that the first time that those two men have talked, do we think? Like, do we think Terry and Adam have avoided each other as Terry's been around? Or is this just the first time that we think they've probably talked face-to-face in the view of other people?
Yeah, I think it's the first time they've probably talked in public where, you know, where we are seeing things. So I haven't seen them together since Terry started the hold-in. I'm sure they've run into each other in the building plenty. I'm sure they've talked, but, you know, they were talking here. Now, what did they talk about? I don't know. We'd like to think that they were having a reasonable conversation about the value of wide receivers and where Terry fits, and hopefully, you know, get the two sides closer together. They also could have just been discussing, you know, if they each saw Breaking Bad and what they make of, you know, Walter White's turn. Who knows what they were discussing? But I think my big takeaway is that they looked like two guys having a conversation. I didn't sense any animosity looking at it briefly. And this has been my thing this whole time with Terry, just being around him when he spoke for 30 minutes at that Eastern Motors commercial a few weeks ago, when he's returned for this hold-in. I don't get any sense that he's like angry or bitter or any of that. He clearly wants to get paid what he thinks he's earned, but that's different than saying, I can't stand these guys. I know he put in the trade request. That felt to me sort of negotiating playbook kind of, rather than like, yeah, I really desperately want to get out of here. He said, hey, I'm building my home here. So it's not like he really wants to leave. So that's sort of what I took it as, is like whatever's going on here. And I don't get the sense prior to today, at least, that there's been much movement on these talks, but at least in this case, again, it looks like there are people having a reasonable conversation, and considering we've had very little news to go on, that's something of a positive, but it doesn't mean that any deal is coming anytime soon.
Yeah. Dan was asked about Terry today, and the question was phrased, I believe, Ben, the way I interpreted it listening to the exchange, more about his ankle injury and the progress there and the way Dan answered it than anything contractual. But how, like, I think we all think that Terry's ankle hurts somewhere in the area of his wallet, that this is only so much of a real ankle injury. But it is a relevant factor in that if he's injured, like, he can very easily refuse to play. And if this obviously lingers into the regular season, you can't get fined if you're hurt for missing games. But ultimately, like, their doctors, I believe the way this works, would be the ones to clear him and take him off of PUP, and then they can obviously fine him for missing games if he is still refusing to play at that point. So was there any significance to the Dan Quinn answer that, hey, we'll see after this day off and like leading into the Bengals game where he is from an injury standpoint?
I don't think so. I mean, like you said, I've been pretty skeptical about the nature of this apparent injury that has been, I guess, lingering since the season ended, which was a long time ago. So I don't know about what to make of that. And Dan Quinn didn't really offer up too much. You know, he's hesitant, understandably. He's not going to get into the actual negotiations because that's Adam Peters' deal. And, you know, he doesn't want to say anything that McLaurin's side could potentially use as a positive in whatever talks they're having. I think what's getting to be interesting, though, is at what point does it become a risk to play him in week one, even if they get a deal done? You know, this is they play 17 games over 18 weeks. This is a marathon, not a sprint. So as much as we're talking about week one, well, you don't want him to go out there and then pull a muscle or a hamstring or something, and now all of a sudden it's a lingering issue that goes on for weeks, if not the season. So what is that timeline? They still have plenty of time before the season starts. He's not going to play here against the Bengals, we wouldn't think, right? So that would leave only one more preseason game, and typically the starters you wouldn't think would play in that one. Is he back for the joint practice against the Ravens? Or maybe, but that's, you know, still only one practice. And, you know, at what point here does it become an issue potentially for week one? I think to me that's kind of like the timeline I'm looking at, along with, you know, is he going to get a deal done? But, I don't know when he's coming back, and I don't know the deal with his ankle, but yeah, to me, I start to wonder, you know, how much more time can pass before week one starts to come into question.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Ben standing with us here on the Hoffman Show. And after the lackluster, to say the least, performance by the Commanders against the Patriots. And again, there's a bunch of reasons why that happened. The Patriots game plan some stuff, which teams never do in the preseason. It's like, yeah, okay, if you decided to play a different sport, a lot easier to run up the scoreboard that way. Good job, Mike Vrabel. Congrats on that. But after that, there is the talk of like, well, the Commanders could have at least played their starters more, and I feel like it is coming back around in vogue a little bit to play your starters more. What have the conversations been around around Ashburn this week on the heels of that when none of the starters played basically for the Commanders on Friday?
Yeah, you know, it's always a tricky deal. The players want to play. I think that's pretty clear. This is, you know, they're not saying, don't put me out there so I risk injury. They want to go. This is what they do. They understand the risks involved. It is typically more of management. Hey, we don't want to, you know, we're paying all this money for these guys. We want the product on the field when it matters, not for these other games. But as veteran players will always say, the only way to practice at playing football is to play football. So at some point they have got to do this. Now, I imagine the starters will play a little bit against the Bengals, but by a little bit, I mean like two series. I'm talking more like on the Jaden Daniels side of it. And that's, you know, two series might be one series too many, especially if they score right off the bat. You do need to get out there. I was talking to Bobby Wagner, or a couple of us were talking to Wagner after practice today, and he was saying how, you know, last year that first game against Tampa, right? So against Tampa? Yeah. The first game against Tampa, that, like, you know, they were kind of, you know, still sorting things out with each other because, you know, they hadn't, you know, done a ton of, like, live work. I think that's one of the things they liked about today, give them a little bit of live work, even if it wasn't, like, tackling. And that was off. And I asked him, like, was when you entered the league, you know, over a dozen years ago, was that the way it kind of was? He's like, no, because, you know, we could still, like, take people to the ground in practice. So this is just the change in the NFL that teams are, you know, basically using weeks one and two to quasi preseason games, but the games count. So that's the tough part, and they've got to find ways to get moving right off the bat. Every team has the same issues. It's just every team handles it slightly differently than the other ones. I don't know if there's any true best answer, best path,
best practice.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it does seem like the more you do it, the better off you'll be.
For sure. I would also question how much of Quinn's decision-making goes into what he's going to see on the other side. Like, we know, because the Bengals have announced this, because, like, how much they play their starters has been a huge story in Cincinnati, as I'm sure you well know, with the slow starts the Bengals have had the last couple of years. And so this year, Ja'Marr Chase was very vocal in training camp and was like, yeah, we're going to play. And Zach Taylor, you know, I think that had already been decided. He's like, yeah, our starters are going to play a little bit more because we can't afford to start as slowly as we have. And so knowing that you're going to see the Bengals ones, to me, that would entice me to play my starters more. I was stunned. And maybe that's my fault for not paying attention to media out of New England last week. I couldn't believe Vrabel was playing his starters when it's week one and they just had a joint practice. It's like, wait, you just practiced against these guys the other day. I thought the reason you do the joint practice is so that you don't have to play in the game where your quarterback isn't wearing a special jersey. So how much do you think that Quinn is going to, you know, look at what Zach Taylor is doing and then maybe have a conversation with Harbaugh when they do the joint and then a game against Baltimore about kind of being on the same page so that everybody understands if we play our guys, this is what they're getting into. If we don't play our guys, this is what we're missing out on.
Yeah, I don't know how much what the other team does is going to matter. I mean, look, last year, as we recall, Jaden Daniels played in the first preseason game against the Jets. That was the game where he had the famous audible out of a you know, short play into a 41-yard bomb to De'Ami Brown, and to me that was the play that signaled, oh wow, this kid really does understand it and has the goods. But they played him that game, right? They didn't, you know, it they played, and he was not there by himself. Other starters were too. So it depends on the circumstances. You know, Mike Vrabel's coming into a new job. Maybe he wants to jumpstart that team that's been miserable. And Dan Quinn's like, hey, we were pretty good last year. Let's just get to the season healthy and go from there.
I think that totally is valid and makes sense. And last year in that game, that first game, you know, I think like Terry was like the one guy who didn't play because he kind of earned it. And then now it's like, yeah, we actually got a bunch of guys we're pretty confident in. So very, very different deal. Anything else you're looking for, Ben? Last question here as we head into, they have the off day tomorrow and then a couple of practices on the way into Cincinnati. Anything else that you're really looking forward to or that you're looking forward to hearing on Quinn from over this next 72 hours, let's call it?
You know, is there any progress in some of these injuries? You know, Brandon Coleman is not out there today. He's not wearing a brace or anything. Not practicing. So, you know, is he going to be back anytime soon? So those things are kind of the bigger deal. And look, the Bengals, I want to see Jamar Chase and Higgins against Lattimore and Amos. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
That is going to be a lot of fun. Ben Standig, Last Man Standig, is the Substack and the podcast. Check him out there. Ben, appreciate your time as always. Sir, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Ben Standig with us here on The Hoffman Show. To me, you know, just to kind of reiterate a point I made the other day, Anthony, when thinking about the Commanders preseason starters discussion, I'm perfectly fine with what they did week one because of two things. One, the joint practice. Two, their injury situation. And it's not so much, oh, they've got some injuries, let's make sure we don't get more, although that is a factor. It's also, these guys hopefully aren't going to play together that much in the regular season anyway. Like, what are we actually practicing? Half-baked football? No. Like, our guys are not available, so let's make sure that if we're going to try to play our guys to build some chemistry, we have to have the guys out there. And with no Terry... Tunsil, well, I guess you probably would not play Tunsil anyway. Some of the other guys that were banged up on the O-line, Coleman, you know, same thing on defense. You had some guys that were probably not going to play no matter what. I just, at that point, what's the payoff? And if the risk side of risk reward is elevated and the reward side is mitigated, you don't take the risk. Like, that's kind of how that equation works.
No, I think that makes perfect sense.
So we'll see, especially if we can get some of these injured guys back. If you're the Commanders, you're like, okay, now we can play some of our guys. But if they're banged up again, I mean, nobody plays their guys in the third preseason game. I don't necessarily think that's the right move, if I'm being honest, because they have the bye week now between week three of the preseason and the regular season. I realize you have less time if a guy gets hurt with a 2-week injury, right? So there's a risk of moving later, but I kind of want that. I don't want the ramp up to end too early. So they could theoretically play some guys against Baltimore, although they do have the joint practice against Baltimore that will probably take up most of their attention. All right, when we get back, this was a huge story that broke last night, and if it goes to its full ending, it's the kind of thing that could cause real problems at the NFL league office for Roger Goodell. Why a lawsuit in Nevada filed by John Gruden has the NFL very scared, and why it all ties back to Daniel M. Snyder. Don Van Natta joins us next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.